Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that healing is possible, because I healed from my 13-year journey, although it was exhausting physically, emotionally, and financially. In this space, we have raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of this journey, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to help make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. So now let's get to today's guest. And I'm really excited to have this conversation because this topic has only been talked about that I've seen just in the last recent year. So today we're going to dive into alpha-gal syndrome, also known as AGS or the red meat allergy. And honestly, I don't know a lot about it. So I'm excited to welcome my guest today because unfortunately, she had the honor of dealing with this and kind of figuring it all out on her own. So, Missy Wolf, welcome to the show and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me. This is exciting. And it's definitely a topic that I don't think it's talked about nearly enough. I went at it blind, so
Yeah, and that's the thing. We've got to spread the awareness about it, right? Awareness is first to even know that something like this exists. And sadly, in the last, I want to say 3 or 4 months, there have been a couple of articles in the news about some deaths that were the result of alpha gal that people didn't even know maybe that they had. So it really is an important topic to discuss and sh spread awareness about. And so I appreciate you taking the time to share your journey with us.
Well, thank you. I mean, I don't even know where to start. Where do you want me to start on this? 'Cause
I know. So, I guess maybe just, a lot of times we don't even know that we get bit by a tick, right? And then hindsight, when we're going through the journey, things kind of start to come full circle. So I don't know, maybe when you first started getting sick, and then did you ever discover like when and where it came from? Or
Oh,
you can start wherever you want.
I know exactly. Like you're probably gonna laugh. So I'm from California. I didn't deal in Southern California, Beach City. I didn't deal with ticks. Like you'd see commercials for dogs, flea and tick medication. Okay, but I never saw one, never had any idea what it was. Well, I moved to Tennessee in 2017. And my husband and I, we bought a house in 2018, and there was a tree line, and there were some dead trees, so we had to cut them down, cut the wood, stack the wood, And so I'm doing the country girl thing, and
From beach to country. Okay, I love it.
so I, finished the day, and we were all dirty, so I had to go take a shower, and I noticed on my abdomen this thing. And I'm freaking out. I'm yelling for my husband. What is this? I don't understand. What is on me? Why won't it come off? And he was like, "That's a tick." And so
So
I
you
was
actually
freaking.
had a tick on your abdomen that was okay. Wow.
And from stacking and carrying the wood, right?
Right.
And so I'm freaking out. He's laughing at me because he's been in the country his whole life and ticks are just a thing. No, I was not happy. And so I didn't think anything of it other than, you know what? I'm for whatever reason, I decided that I should put that tick in a little Ziploc bag and put it in my freezer. And
Smart girl.
I, you know, it wasn't me. It was God telling me to do it. And so everybody thought I was crazy for putting this bug in their freezer, but I was like, no, because what if something happens? I have such a complex body already, and I've gone through so many medical things that it doesn't hurt. If something happens, they need to be able to investigate and figure out why. So I put it in the freezer, didn't think much about it, and after a few days, I noticed that the redness and the mark that it left and the swelling wasn't going away. And I was like, is this normal? And Everybody just attributed it to I'm allergic to everything. So maybe, it was just my skin was extra sensitive. Well, I went to school to pick up my kids, and the school resource officer, Officer Joe, I love him to death. He had asked me how my weekend was, and I was like, I was like, I was really sick. Like, just I did yard work and then I was throwing up and I was just so sick. And he jokingly was like, hopefully you didn't get bit by one of those Lone Star ticks. And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, my neighbor got bit by a Lone Star tick and now she's allergic to red meat. I was like, what are you talking about? I had no idea. And then I was like, Joe, I was actually doing yard work and I got a tick bite. Then we had a barbecue and I had steak and then I was deathly ill. And he
Oh my
said,
gosh.
I'll find you. And at that point, he actually didn't know the name of the tick. He said it was just a tick. He'd find out from his neighbor. So he had given me his phone number. I gave him mine. And he said, when I get home, I'll talk to my neighbor and I'll text you what a picture of the tick and what it's called. So I wait about an hour and a half after I'm home. I get this text message and it's the same tick that I have in my freezer, like the same white dot on its back. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. So I called my primary care physician.
I got to just stop you there for a second, Missy, because this is exactly why I talk about Lyme and ticks all the time, right? Because people like Joe, right, who have heard it from a friend, shares it, whether it was jokingly or not, but it truly is about sharing our voices to spread awareness. Like this is a primary example of it. So, anyways, just wanted to say that. Keep sharing your
No,
voice, everyone.
but I was heartbroken with the news. Like I was serious, like my heart sank. I'm looking at this picture on my cell phone. I'm immediately calling my husband at work and I'm like, you're not going to believe this. And I told him what had happened and he was like, well, it's a good thing you put it in the freezer. So then you obviously follow the, I'm going to call my doctor. I'm going to, do everything, they tested for Lyme, but that can hide, right? It's hard for them to diagnose all of that. So my blood work and everything looked fine, but I was so sick from the red meat that I was like, there's no way this is normal. So my doctor advised me, you know what? Just stop it. Don't eat any of it. Let's do more research. Let's figure this out. Then the CDC got involved. They're calling me doing, monthly, sometimes weekly checkups just to see what I'm going through so that they can document my journey so that they can learn and have accounts of what I'm going through to help figure out what to tell other people and how to handle it.
Wow, like that is huge. So the CDC. So Missy, when was this, right? So we're 2026
So this was
today,
in,
and
yeah, this was in 2019. So,
okay,
yeah, it was.
so quite a while ago. And like I mentioned earlier, it's just starting to pop up out there in the community in the last maybe year, I would say, is when I started seeing it. So this was long before then. So you truly like were one of the investigative cases that obviously the CDC wanted to kind of track. So I've never heard of such a thing, the CDC reaching out and following up with you, right?
It was kind of crazy. I told them that I had the tick in my freezer, so they had me send it to them.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right.
So,
So then they tested it, I'm assuming.
yeah. I mean, they didn't go into specifics on me with what they did. I knew that they were planning on researching that particular tick and all of that. And then they were staying up to date with me on my symptoms. For about 3 years, I talked with them periodically. So it
Wow.
was.
And so what did they tell you? So obviously they didn't know much about it, right? And so again, we talk about the red meat allergy. And I know that it goes kind of beyond that, just a little bit that I do know about it. So can you share or do you recall if any advice that they gave you? Like what did they tell you?
They told me to stay away from animal product, period, because they didn't know enough about it. It wasn't just red meat. Everybody calls it the red meat allergy, but it's not just red meat. It's found in gelatin, right? It's found in all kinds of products that are byproducts of animals that are red meat animals. So that's
Okay.
what you have to think about. So even the dairy. And luckily for me, I've never liked milk. I don't drink it. It wasn't a
I could
thing.
do without milk, but don't take away my cheese. I'm
That's
sorry.
my problem is the cheese. But I noticed, and I don't know, and I still don't know for sure, and maybe it's the processing of it. The soft, like white cheeses, the soft cheeses, I was okay with. The other cheeses, I was not. The regular cheddars and all, I just had a hard time with all of it. So I just quit eating all of that. But when they said the CDC at the time, they were like, we're thinking this resolves for everybody between 3 and 5 years.
Okay. By
Well,
doing what?
that you just grow out of it. Like it's just no longer, you're no longer allergic to that sugar molecule anymore. Like it resolves on its own is what
Okay,
I was
so it's
told.
a sugar molecule that is found
In the red meat, in the dairy, in the
in red
gelatin.
meat or animal products.
Yes.
Okay, and does this molecule have a name? So like, yeah, I can see dairy, obviously red meat, but you mentioned earlier gelatin. So how does somebody know what we're supposed to look for? Did they tell you anything, or you just
They
had to
didn't
figure
tell
this
me
all out on your
anything.
own?
I just started researching, and that's basically all I did was try to, figure out what was safe for me and what wasn't. And so it was really, really hard because I'm a meat eater. That's and I follow the blood type diets because if I don't get enough red meat, my body is very weak. It's like that feeling when you're anemic and you're just, you need that red meat. So I got to the point where I would feel sick regardless. So it was like, well, let me test and see if my allergy has gone away yet. And so about every 8 months, I would try a piece of red meat. And I'd know right away. Oh, I would know right away the abdominal pain,
So
the.
just like you're brave, just like a bite of it and immediately within seconds.
And some people are not that way. Some people are so allergic that their throat will close up. They go into anaphylactic shock. Like people have died. It is a serious allergy. And call it bravery. I think it was stupidity. I should not have tested it the way that I did, but there wasn't a lot known about it. And I wasn't hearing about all the scary stuff. I was hearing, well, it typically resolves and, 3 to 5 years. Well, luckily for me, after the 3 year mark, I was able to eat red meat again. So I
Because
don't
you
have any lingering.
continually try to test it. Okay.
Yes.
Now, at the time, did the CDC say to you that you can go into anaphylactic shock, or because that's the big talk about it, right? Is to
I'm,
carry an EpiPen with this, or did they not even know that?
well, see, here's where I get even more complicated. I'm allergic to epinephrine. So,
Which is in the EpiPen?
So I'm not allowed to have that. So they warned me if I was going to try it to only take a little bit, because if I took too much and my reaction became too severe, it could really put me in danger. So, and that's just based on what they were assuming at the time. They still didn't have a whole lot of information, but they have had at that point, they had a few cases where I remember this gentleman in Texas passed away. I mean, he ate, his steak dinner, whatever it was, and he passed away. He went into anaphylactic shock so bad. And I've been in anaphylactic shock before, for a seafood allergy. So I wasn't a stranger to that. So taking that little taste every few months, the only reaction that I would have was severe abdominal cramping, and throwing up. So I felt safe. I didn't feel swelling in my throat, which is why I was like, okay, I'll just keep testing,
You
because
can
if
do
they said
that.
it's going to resolve and I haven't had any of those scary reactions, but still, it was probably stupid on my part to do that.
Which, hey, hindsight, right? If you knew now, or if you knew then what you know now about alpha gal. You
Yeah.
probably wouldn't have done a lot of the
Right.
things maybe that you've done, right? But you truly
Right.
were the guinea pig along with the CDC.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty interesting time for sure. And I do think honestly that going through that has prepared me for the journey that I'm currently on. It's crazy similar, but it's completely different. And I'm grateful that I went through it. I'm glad it was me and not one of my kids, not one of, somebody else that I care and love, because I'm sure it would have been really hard to watch them go through it. I know it was hard for my husband to watch me, especially every time I tried to have it before before I should have. But it was important to me as well that I was able to keep giving my progress, and my symptoms to the CDC so that they could really track real time what's going on and get
Absolutely.
good documentation. So, I'm definitely grateful for the experience. I do think I was maybe a little bit reckless a few of those times because I was just craving the red meat and I was like, I don't care, I need it, I want it.
Right, right.
Didn't work out so well, but
So, a couple questions. So, can you think of maybe some of the items that obviously we need to do our own research and, be our own advocate. But can you think of this, some of the things maybe that you can just throw out that maybe kind of are common that a lot of people may not realize has this molecule in it?
Yeah, so you have to look at your medication too, because
Oh, really?
capsules, the medication capsules oftentimes are gelatin.
A
So
lot of times they are gelatin.
yes, now there's different types. You have the beef gelatin, you have the vegetarian ones. So you just have to really be mindful, look at all of the ingredients, and if there's something you don't recognize, look it up. Just look it up. And that's with it, even a soy allergy. The ink on the capsules on your medications oftentimes use soy. So you know what I mean? Like you just really, really have to dig in. So look up anything that has gelatin in it. Obviously stay away from the Jell-O. You're not going to want to do
Right,
that.
right. So on the
But
capsule, so if something says, okay, so if just something is completely vegetarian, then that is safe.
Yeah.
Like you don't really have to look or
Right.
dive into the ingredients.
Right. Correct.
Okay. And then as far as the capsules that, medications or herbs are in, if it's a
Supplements, all the
vegetarian
supplements.
supplement or
Yeah.
capsule, then those are fine. But it
Yeah.
has to specifically say, my
Yes.
gosh, that had to have been like kind of maybe a full-time job before, in order for
Yeah.
you to be able to eat and nourish your body.
Well, and trying to go out to eat anywhere, because that the other thing is cross-contamination. Even if, and red meat, I mean, every restaurant has red meat. They all have the same grill. So you have to be so super careful. So one of the easiest places, honestly, is hibachi, because they cook it all in front of you. They clean the grill in front of you. And if you have the alpha gal allergy, you can tell them that you're allergic to red meat. You're ordering chicken, and they'll make sure they cook your food on the grill first before they cook anybody else's. So,
Okay, good to
there
know.
are workarounds, but you have to be vocal. You can't assume that where you're going is safe. And the other thing is, and this is what this wasn't popular back then, back in 2019, not like it is today. Everybody's talking about beef tallow, and restaurants are cooking with beef tallow. So you have places like Outback. You want to go to Outback
Yeah.
Steakhouse
And
with.
I, for one, am excited to hear these changes, right? Get rid
Yes.
of that vegetable oil and use
Yeah,
beef
which is
tallow,
great.
but not for people
Not
with
for
alpha
people with
gal.
that. So you really, really have to pay attention. And I had started asking about the oil because of my soy allergy as well. And so when I found out that there were certain places that cook in beef tallow, now that I'm through my alpha gal allergy period, I'm so excited because I can actually go out to eat without having that same abdominal pain because of the soy. So, but you have to ask. Nobody else is going to offer the information. Even if, and here's what I found out, and not to throw, company names under the bus at all. But I'm just going to give you an example that all of these restaurants have websites with nutrition guides. The employees at those restaurants, especially fast food chains, don't know. They don't have that stuff memorized. And not every location abides by the same ingredients and same kind of rules. So you could have a nutrition website that says, yes, Chick-fil-A is safe. You can have this, 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 and this. But then you go to the store and you ask the manager what ingredients they're using in their fryers or this or that. And they pull out their own manual. And what the website told you was safe, their manual is telling you is not. So you really have to ask, and you can't just rely on a website giving you correct information. I don't care. I ask so many people in drive-throughs, what kind of oil do you use? Show me the oil container. You have to. And people
That's a
might think
really
you're
good tip. But just to, we can't believe everything we find online, right? And
No.
obviously that is true. And I'm sure that that happens all the time. And fortunately, people are more understanding of specific allergies, whether it's celiac disease or whatever. And so when we ask somebody at the restaurant, I'm pretty confident if you're talking to a manager, they are going to be able to assure you of what is safe and what is not safe. But don't rely on the websites, obviously, as you just mentioned. So go directly to the source at the actual location.
And you absolutely have to. And I mean, you said celiac disease, same thing. Do you know that there's gluten in foundation makeup?
I did not know that.
So like it opens the door. When you start researching ingredients, it opens the door and you realize how many things you have to stay away from. And it's crazy because there's so many of us dealing with something so similar and so easy to avoid if you know what to look for. But you cannot rely on other people. You have to do it yourself. You absolutely have to start researching. And if you get bit by any tick, I tell everybody, I don't care what tick it is. You might think you're safe, but it's better to put that little tick in a bag, go to your doctor. Get your titers checked, all of that. Do follow-ups. I've known way too many people that have suffered so long to just to find out that, oh, they were undiagnosed with Lyme disease for so long, and it's miserable.
And we learn so much along our journey. And, just one of the things I recently learned, I had very well respected, I just adore what she does, Dr. Mariah Hinchey on my show. Well, she's been on a few times, but I released an episode recently and it was all about navigating a fresh tick bite. And so, my mission is to share everything I've learned along my journey with everybody. Just any resources, information from my personal experience and or my personal research or just others in the community, right? Because I've been in the community for way too long. And I never thought that we needed to test a tick. But Dr. Hinchey talks about it on our episode. And it makes sense. I mean, my journey was very expensive. Many people spend a lot of money on this. Could you imagine just spending, the upwards of $200 to test everything that this tick could possibly carry for two reasons. One, to find out, okay, the tick is free of everything. I never have to think twice about this moment, right? Or for two, to actually know what you may get infected with, right? And so it re I mean, a couple $100 to do testing like that. Hindsight, no brainer. Just no brainer, right? So yes, absolutely put that tick in the freezer and I think get it tested. So what I know this was a hard journey for you because I mean we rely on eating food and we get what's the word? Just we don't think twice about what we put in our mouth oftentimes, right? And you really have to with something like this. And it taught you a lot. Like,
Always, it did.
what was the journey? like what was your experience going through this? You know, because many people that have been on my show, obviously we talk about, you know, Lyme disease, but this goes along with it, kind of like that Lyme umbrella. And we talk about the blessing of it because we learn so much stuff we never would have. And I've already learned so much from you.
Well, the journey itself, I mean, it had some really tough challenges because, you know, there were times where I would find myself like with my family, we were out and there wasn't anything I could eat. You know, it was nothing of substance anyway. And, you know, it just really became that emotional roller coaster. Like if I try to go out and have a good time and eat something, am I going to end up super sick? Am I going to end up in the hospital with so much pain that I need to have, you know, intervention because I can't walk, I can't breathe, you know? Those attacks were not, they weren't easy to go through. Which is why I said, oh, I turned purple for a minute, which is why I said, you know, it was probably stupid looking back, you know, thinking, wow, I can't believe I actually kept testing myself. But,
So
you know,
listeners, we're not recommending
no,
that, right?
don't do it. I'm sure that they've figured out ways by now to kind of test your blood and see where you're at on your journey. I didn't have any of that. But I'm sure there's been more advances since then. But I'm also grateful for the journey because what I'm going through now, it really gave me the tools that I needed to really pay attention to what I'm putting in my body. And if I could tell anybody anything, it's just that. Really pay attention, dig deep and research. I don't care what kind of tick you got bit by. You take a picture of it, you Google it, you ask all the, I mean, AI is available for everybody now. It's not 100% accurate all the time, but it's a really good source of information when you're doing research that you can verify through other sources.
Yeah.
But the journey was very long, oftentimes brutal. But I stayed the course and just kept doing what I thought I needed to do. And I made it through on the other side. If you have, if anybody has any type of like reaction with the swelling of the throat, absolutely do not attempt to eat red meat on your own without a doctor's approval because typical food reactions will keep getting worse when you have that type of a reaction. So you don't want to do that. People don't do that.
Okay, so along that, I have a few questions.
I
So
know.
let me get my thoughts together, because I wanted to ask, like, kind of what you've learned from that, right? So, talking about people that maybe are noticing some swelling in their throat, is this something that sounds like your, you know, whatever grade or whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
Like your symptoms from it were not an immediate anaphylactic shock, right? Like
Right.
a lot of people is. So do you know, has the CDC given you like any guidelines or resources, or have you learned like, okay, so if they have this, like could you have gotten worse before you got better? Because you had just mentioned, you know, if you have that, don't do it, you know, don't
Right.
eat anything with this molecule to be on the safe side without your doctor. So
Yeah,
I'm just wondering, like, if it could get worse before it gets better.
That was kind of what we talked about with the CDC, and I was grateful that I didn't have those symptoms, but that was one of the things that they were saying was because they were not encouraging me. I'm a kind of a bad patient. They were not encouraging me to test out, you know, if I could eat it yet or not, if it had resolved. I know the woman that often called me, she was always so curious about what I was going through and just learning about this whole allergy. She was very fascinated by everything, but she was very, very, very like strong in her opinion. Like you should not be just going out and trying it. And if you had any swelling, that was the one thing she kept telling me. If you have throat swelling, do not ever do it again because it's very common in other food allergies, especially like with shellfish. If you have that reaction where your throat swells and you go into anaphylactic shock, it's only going to get worse the next time you have it. It's going to keep that allergy is going to keep getting worse. Same thing with peanuts. You know, there's so
Right.
they were basing because it was so new, they were taking the information that they had on other reactions that people would have for other foods and recommending that I do not attempt to keep trying to eat red meat. But I was very stubborn. And because my reaction was very limited, it was the stomach pain. I'm used to stomach pain. And feeling like I wanted to throw up. Well, I had medication to help me with that. So for me, I wanted to know, and I was doing it carefully. But again, I do not recommend anybody doing that without a doctor's guidance. My situation was different. They didn't know a lot about it. They gave me what recommendations they could at the time, but nothing was, certain. So,
So then, if you're not supposed to just test it out, right, by a bite, did they say how you would know if you grew out of it? Was there
no,
any lab work to do or?
at the time they didn't. They said, this is just what we've heard, but we don't really like, they were still trying to figure out what to tell people. They were still trying to figure out anything. They were learning. They were just learning about this. And that's why I think she was so fascinated and documenting. I mean, every time she would call and we document my symptoms and did you try red meat? We ended up becoming kind of like friends. I looked forward to the calls because she was so sweet and she was so curious and just wanted to learn more. And she apologized to me every time too. It was the cutest thing. She would just always apologize to me, like, I'm so sorry you're going through this. I'm so sorry this happened. And I was like, hey, you know what? Why not me? Why not?
Wow. Yeah. And I'm not a fan of the CDC for many reasons, but that's a whole nother episode, right? But it is refreshing to hear, that they did take your case serious and they really did follow up like this to gather this documentation, right? And again, as we mentioned earlier in the show, that there's been some pretty big articles out there in the news lately about, having a barbecue, eating a hamburger, and then, unfortunately, the demise of the person. And so there's a lot of information coming out. And so I'm grateful that they were part of this journey for you, right? And trying to learn and educate themselves so that they know what kind of, information to put together and resources to be able to help people over the years.
And one of the things that I recommend to people too is, especially if you're moving from a town and a state where you're familiar with everything, you move to a completely new place, you really need to research what goes on, like what snakes are in town, like everything, like get to know your area, what
Your
wildlife is
environment.
there, what could go wrong so that you know what to expect. And for the love of all things good in this world, I know that there's a lot of people who say don't use DEET, don't use this, don't use that. But when you are doing the kind of work outdoors where ticks are very, very, very present, you need to protect yourself because some of those ticks are so nasty. And then you need to check yourself. So many people don't check themselves. I'm constantly checking myself. Like, I step outside and I garden for 5 minutes. I'm coming in the house and I'm checking. Maybe it's given me a whole different type of fear to navigate through the rest of my life, but I don't care. I don't want to go through it again. And I'm going to do everything I can to avoid it. And I think people are just too, like, I don't know, calm and not caring, carefree. They're just too carefree about it. And
And I think a lot of times they're uneducated, because even if somebody lives in a new area, which by the way, those were great tips, right? Learn your environment. People are like, oh, I've been bit by ticks for years. I've never had a problem. But that again is why, spreading awareness about these different tick-borne, vector-borne, illnesses is so important because things, evolve and things change, and so we constantly need to learn and educate. And yes, there certainly is a level of PTSD that goes along with, the fear of ticks. Just yesterday, I was picking up some leaves in my backyard, that had been there over the winter, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is where ticks like to hibernate in the wintertime. And so, of course, I had gloves on, but I had short sleeve shirts on because, it was actually a warm day.
It was a warm day yesterday.
Just being aware, right? Like, I know that they're there. Keep an eye on my arms, keep an eye on my legs, and, do your tick checks. It's just important. It's just a simple little quick tool that we can use to just to be proactive, right? We're so much better off being proactive during any type of journey versus reactive, right? So, but it's all
Exactly.
about educating yourself as well.
And the other thing is too, is too many people sadly just assume that a tick bite isn't going to do anything. And the growth of Lyme disease and the growth of the alpha gal allergy, and if you see where it started and where it is now, I mean, when you track it, it's growing and the dangers are concerning. And so I've seen so many people out here who've born and raised out here. They've had a million tick bites. Their kid gets one. They don't think anything of it. No, my kid got a tick bite. I took him right to the doctor. You're getting checked out. We're doing the blood work. We're coming back every 4 weeks, every 8 weeks, whatever the recommendation is, and we're making sure you're clear because it's important. And I'd rather pay to prevent than pay to treat.
Yes, because as we know, treating, isn't created equally, right? It doesn't. A lot of people struggle much worse than other people. It's a rough battle for sure.
I'm lucky. My case was very mild considering. I'm extremely lucky and I don't take that for granted, at all. And you mentioned the whole PTSD thing and I see all these artists with their new album covers, these, singers out in the field with a skirt on, and I'm like, all I see is ticks. My husband laughs at me and I'm like, no, I'm not going out there. I'm not doing it. That grass is tall. You better mow it because I'm not walking out there.
And I think that a lot of times, I wonder, do people think we're just overreacting, right? Because you really don't get it until you get it. Like, there's that phrase that we all have. And I mean, I shout it from the rooftops, and people go out, and I'm always like, make sure you look for ticks. Make sure you check for ticks, and ticks can do this, and all this stuff. And I don't know why this just popped into my head, but a few years ago, my brother and my nephew started getting really into hunting, like going on big hunting trips. I guess it's been a handful of years ago. And I'll never forget the first year that they came back. They said, and we did our tick checks every night. And I was like, oh my gosh, like somebody listened to me, so it's just a matter of educating other people and letting them know. But sometimes, it's hard to pound it into their head about the seriousness of this illness because they've never dealt with it and it's not talked a lot about. And especially alpha gal, it's not talked about very much at all.
Not nearly enough. And like I said, even though my case was mild compared to others, like I knew nothing about it. Had it not been for that school resource officer, I
Thanks,
never would have
Joe,
known.
right?
I never would have known, and I would have continued on my way. And who knows? Maybe my case would have developed into a very serious one if I had not known and wasn't avoiding the red meat and wasn't avoiding the dairy, because I mean,
And
I even avoided ice cream. I love ice cream. I didn't like milk, so that wasn't a big deal, but I was avoiding ice cream like the plague too, and that's one of my favorite things ever. So, had it not been for him, who knows how bad my reactions would have gotten. And
Right.
I'm
And it would
grateful
have
that, and
been,
even though he was joking, I'm so grateful.
right. Yes. And, I think it could have been even extra hard to really figure out because it's one thing if it's just, okay, this is weird. Every time I eat meat, I get sick. But it would be, anything, even as much as a supplement, right, from the capsule. So it could have been really hard to kind of track down and figure out what exactly it was that was making you sick. Now, did they actually do a blood test on you? Is there a test that they do, and Are they
I never
accurate
had
through a
them.
primary doctor? You didn't have one because you got bit by the tick. You immediately got sick from
They
Regiment. Okay.
just checked normal tick titers. You know, that's all they did. There wasn't anything that else that they could do. And I honestly don't even think that my doctor's office or anyone's that I know of right now, I don't know that they can test you right away for that. I'm not even sure if they've progressed enough to, I know my doctor's office doesn't. They just do the normal tick titers. There's no there. I maybe like you'd have to go to a special allergist probably and request that because you know they can do all the different food things. They prick your skin in that little panel on your arm or on your back. I'm sure that's the only way at this point, unless there are some advanced, you know, general practitioners out there. But my office doesn't do it.
Okay. Yeah. And I would think probably assuming that traditional primary doctors don't, because, they can't, you need to go to a specialty lab to even get a proper Lyme diagnosis, right? And so I'm assuming it's the same with the alpha gal, but we'll continue to learn more about it. And I do have a question I wanted to ask you earlier when you said that you were allergic to the EpiPen. So, in your case, what would one do? Because I'm sure you're not the only one who's allergic to it, right?
In my case, so what I will tell you from experience. I went into anaphylactic shock from cross contamination with shellfish. And this was
Okay.
back in 2004. It was August 17th, 2004. And my daughter was just a
Crazy
couple
how
of
some of
months.
those dates, they never leave our brain, right?
I still have the shirt they cut off me in the ambulance. So I was on my way home, it was a Christmas party we had gone to, and I was on my way home and I couldn't breathe. I was gasping for air and I had rolled the window down in the car and I wasn't being taken seriously. And for about an hour and a half, I was very combative, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't breathe. Just it was a really scary moment. And after about an hour and a half, somebody finally called the paramedics for me. And when I got there, I heard them say, "We're losing her." And then I heard somebody say, "Clear." And they had to use the defibrillator on me. And I was head to toe on fire. I was in the worst pain imaginable. I felt like I was being electrocuted, burned alive. It was absolutely awful. Thankfully, they knew to tell the hospital staff I was allergic to epinephrine because that's typically what they give you. But for me, yeah, it's just an immediate hospital visit and cortisone injections or anything they can to reduce the swelling in the throat, and keep you going. I never want to go through it again. So I'm definitely trying my best to not have it. I'm very careful when I go out to eat. I make all my own bread. I make all my own food most of the time, because I never
Which is
want to be.
not a bad thing, right? Considering what's in our food
Yeah,
nowadays.
seriously. Seriously. But so it's a challenge. I've been told several times I need to wear a medical alert bracelet, and I have not pulled the trigger on that.
I will second that. Missy,
Yeah,
get on board. Get on
I know,
board.
I know. Everybody is mad
They
at me
have
for not
cute
doing it.
ones now. They really do.
Yeah, I was told, I need to. I have no excuses. My excuse before was no, they're just these big, ugly things that, you remember the little ID bracelets you had in
Yes.
school?
Oh,
I didn't
yes.
want to wear one of those.
Yes. No, they have some really cute little delicate things, and it
And
could save your life.
they have tattoos now too. So people have told me to do the medical alert tattoo.
There you go.
I'm like,
You have
I can
two
maybe do
options
that.
now.
I can maybe put that on my wrist. We'll see.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm sorry you had to go through that journey, but it
Okay.
is very refreshing to hear that. You definitely weren't alone, right? You had the CDC by your side walking you through this, and hopefully, I'm sure a lot of the things that you were able to provide for them has, been added into their, all of their case studies that they're doing to be able to get
Absolutely.
better and offer more treatment options, ideas, helps, resources, and all of
And
that stuff.
it was helpful because even though we only talked periodically, I felt like they cared and they were really encouraging me to do more research. If they had any helpful advice, they were sharing it too. But you know, they were still just learning and there was not a whole lot to go on. So the advice was just avoid, you know,
Right.
avoid, avoid, avoid. And I really kind of just learned on my own that you need to dig deeper into the ingredients and things. And that's the biggest thing that people need to know, aside from knowing their surroundings and getting familiar with what could happen to them out, you know, into a new place in the world. You need to really research ingredients because there's so much hidden. You would never have thought,
No,
you would
and they
never have
use
thought that
random
taking a supplement.
words.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you don't even know what they mean.
Right.
It's very confusing, but definitely can be life-saving. So,
Yeah.
well, so you are, it's not out now, but you are writing a book, Missy. Tell us what
Yeah.
your book is about, because I know that you're gonna hopefully talk about this in it. So what,
Yeah.
it's called Rise Anyway.
Rise anyway. So I've had a really interesting medical journey. And about a month or two ago, I had a really severe reaction to a medication that was given to me. It was the first pill that I took, and within an hour and a half, I thought I was going to die. I couldn't walk, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't barely talk, and my husband could barely get me into the living room out of the recliner. And my daughter was standing in front of me, and I told her, "You need to call your sister. You need to tell her how much I love her." And I was basically saying goodbye to my kids. So when I got through that, I decided that I needed to write them like basically like love letters, right? I wanted them to know who I was. I wanted them to know why I made certain decisions I made in my life. Including divorcing their father. I just wanted them to know why. And I didn't want to leave anything left unsaid. And I sent it to my PR friend because he really wanted to read it. And I was like, well, you're going to learn some things about me you might not want to know. And he called me after reading three chapters and said, "You have to keep writing." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And he's like, "You need to turn this into a book." And I talked to my kids and I told them, and they were all on board. And I just continued on. There's some really important things in there about my medical journey that I feel like people need to know. And unfortunately, where I live in Tennessee, the doctors here didn't know what to do for me, didn't know how to help me. And to this day, I have yet to meet one doctor here in Tennessee that even knows you can live without a pancreas. So, I don't have one of those. So I wrote this as a very, very uplifting but truthful, you know, story about how you can get through anything in life, but you have to make the decision to learn and to improve your life, and you have to keep rising anyway. So that's what it's about.
I had no idea what it was about. Wow.
Yeah. So
That
it'll
is
be out later this year.
very powerful. And what an amazing thing to think of to do to make sure that your legacy lived on, in your kids, and they knew who you were. And that was the whole start of what is going to be a book now.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that people go through in life and they keep it to themselves because they don't, you know, their kids are too young. They don't, you don't want to bash anybody. And this was not written to bash anybody, but this was written. I've always taught my kids, you have to have ownership in everything that you do. You have to take ownership. I don't care if it's embarrassing. I don't care. I'm not going to hide from it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in this book. And it's just, I wanted them to know that it's okay. We all have to live our life, but own your mistakes. And maybe they'll understand why now I did some of the things that I did. Because you know, it's not something people like to talk about. They want to hide the not so pretty parts of their life from the world. And I feel like more people are going to learn from your not so pretty parts of life if you just share them, and maybe they can avoid making some of the same decisions, you know?
I
So.
love that. And yeah, it's like wearing rose-colored glasses, right?
Yeah.
And so much of people's days are consumed by social media. And
Yes.
was it years ago that keeping up with the Joneses or whatever, and people's lives look so amazing, right? And everything's going for them, and you could be envious of them, but then the next thing you know, maybe they've committed suicide. And you wonder, so people live so many stages and phases of their life that they don't often share, and they suffer in silence. And so how courageous of you to do this. And I, for one, hope I get a signed copy in the mail. Let me know when it's available. So
I will
it's
send it to you.
titled Rise Anyway, and I'm sure it's going to be available on Amazon. And I'm sorry, I think you said when you think it might launch.
Oh, it'll be later this year.
Okay.
We don't, because it's still in the very early process, like it was just finished. And I gave myself 2 weeks to finish the book, and I did it in 9 days as far as writing all the chapters. It was a very healing process, but now it's, gathering the team. Right now it's sitting in a focus group, a women's focus group. So as soon as they're done with that, it's just, there's some processes it's
The
got to go through
process.
before we
So
can put it out.
hopefully by the end of this year, 2026, it will be available. So keep checking that Amazon book list out there, listeners.
Yes.
So, and I'll put the title in the description of this episode as well.
All right,
So
perfect.
Missy, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And
Oh, thank
truly, I'm
you.
really excited to check out your book. It sounds like it's amazing. And I bet it's going to be an incredible resource, to
I
many
hope
people
so.
that maybe you wouldn't even have dreamed of.
I hope it brings them some laughter at the same time too, just keep it lighthearted and informational. And I really do hope people can take something positive away from it, and maybe use it to help somebody else, you know?
Exactly. Oh, well, thank you so much, Missy. I appreciate
Thank
you.
you. Thank you. Have a good night.